The smell of raw fish wavers in the air. Berries, vegetables, and seaweed overflow the temporary booths. Sea lions jump from the river onto concrete pillars to be fed discarded fish. Merchants shout out the variety of fish they're selling, and the market-goers crowd around interesting-looking seafood. This would seem an unconventional place for college students to visit on spring break. We came all the way from MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to this misty city in Chile's Southern Lakes region to study something that happened decades ago. Valdivia Central Market is actually 2 to 3 meters below where it stood 50 years ago. The largest earthquake in recorded history, 9.5 on the Richter scale, hit the city in 1960, destroying buildings and sinking the land. Minutes later, a giant tsunami created by the quake hit the coast, flooding the city and the entire region. The market where we stood on that Sunday morning was washed away and rebuilt years later. This is Rodrigo, and I like listening to stories, so I wanted to find some stories from those who experienced a disaster firsthand. Leonardo Mancini was a teacher in Valdivia in 1960. We were on the riverbank, opposite the city center, the night he told me his story.
I was in my house, 2 blocks down from the center of Valdivia, 2 blocks from the plaza in the main street, the Picarte Avenue. That's where I lived. And nothing was left because my house was built on a lake.
Unknown to him at the time, his house was situated on an ancient lake bed. Along with the rest of the city, it collapsed in only a few seconds. He described it as being the end of the world. Leonardo still misses some buildings, reminders of the old Valdivia that's now replaced with the city before us.
Uno echa de menos ciertas cosas, como por ejemplo ese gran edificio que era un...
You miss a lot of things. For example, that building used to look like a castle. It was Valdivia's beer factory. You miss, for example, the fire department's tower. It was tall and had 4 clocks, one on each face. For 20 or 30 years afterwards, I'd look up to see the time and it wasn't there. Things like that happen to you. But little by little, things get rebuilt.
As devastating as the earthquake was, it wasn't the only disaster to hit the area that day. A few miles from Valdivia, picturesque towns and fishing villages lined the coast. Approaching towards these at an incredible speed was a maremoto, or tsunami, that was to wipe them all out.
There was a very strong earthquake. The ground cracked and opened in places. Suddenly, we looked toward the sea, and a tremendous tide was coming.
Edna Pacheco was in Chiole, one of the devastated villages that day. She still lives there, much higher up a hill, though. She recently started a gymnastics club with some friends and walks daily to the nearest gym in the next village. She told me her story on her way back from gym class. A kind woman in her 80s, she still remembers, with some difficulty, what she and her town went through that day.
We took off toward the mountain. Everyone did. Some stayed behind, though, the ones that drowned. There was a party up in the hill, and when the people were coming down, that's when the wave got them. It came up the river dragging boats. It went up that way. There came our house. We saw it as it was going by. What a shame.
I asked her if it's something she still remembers often. Her reply was that she remembers it every day of her life, as though it were a bad dream. She says it's something that those who live through will never forget. To lighten the mood, one of her friends couldn't help but make a joke. She said they had a gym club, so that if there ever were to be another tsunami, they'd be able to run away. Only a few miles from where Erna stood, tangible proof of the tsunami still haunts the seaport. The masts and chimneys of a sunken steamer, the Canelo, have been rusting for over 40 years and still protrude from the water, a grim reminder of the many ships that sank because of the tsunami in the shallow waters of the bay. Hilda Normand accompanied us as we toured the area by boat. She had been here that day on the sunken Canelo.
I had lunch there that day, in that steamer. It was in Corral Bay.
What do you feel when you see that ship?
What do I feel? It's been so many years. It was a nice steamer, a very nice ship.
Only a few hours before it sank, she was on the very ship that now lies dead in the bay. 46 years later, and just a few feet away from the rusty remains, Hilde was telling me about her lunch that day. It was chilling to see the ship so close, yet so different from how it used to be. And even more striking to see Hilde's reaction.
The ship that you see on your right side was the bay.
Her expression and mood changed as soon as our guide announced the wrecks on the PA, and her attention was captured by the aging iron. She stood up, pointed, and told me the story behind the ship. Her father was a sea captain, so after lunch on the Canelo, she went to meet him at a reception on another boat. That's where she was when the tsunami struck, on a boat that also now lies beneath the waves.
Y entre la primera y la segunda ola, de repente como que vino algo y se secó delante de nosotros más o menos unos 500 metros.
Between the first and second wave, suddenly something happened and the area in front of us dried up, about 500 meters in front of the ship. A sort of crater formed, and a small passenger steamship fell in. We were right on the verge of falling in as well. The houses that floated were dragged out by the sea, while we were dragged in and out on the ship. There were men on the roofs of the houses that were taken, and they say that many of those survived. How? I have no idea. The people that were in the mountains later told us they couldn't explain how the steamship didn't flip over. We couldn't say, because with the fear and desperation that we were feeling at the moment, the only thing I wanted at that point was to die quickly.
For survivors like Edna, Hilde, and Leonardo, their experiences in 1960 are very much a part of their lives today. Like them, many still haven't been able to get over the tragedy. Other survivors, however, focus on the reconstruction and revival of Valdivia and of their lives. Pelusa van de Maile was in Valdivia when the earthquake struck.
Most old people in Valdivia still cry, still complain, and are still crushed. But I think that shouldn't be. It should give you strength to get over that stage, because it's a stage, and it happened to many people, not just you. You can't hold on to the tragedy, to how terrible it was. It's over, you're alive, and you can get up. That's the most important thing. In the end, it was something positive.
After the earthquake, to avoid the flooding, Pelusa fled to the island where the Universidad Austral has its campus. There, where her husband was a professor, she lived for over a year. They took over a small office, and with small children, they were able to survive until they could build a new house. She is now in the process of compiling a book of poetry about the earthquake and the tsunami. I visited her house one night, and amidst raspberry meringue cake, she read us her favorite poem, Primavera hacia el Sur, Spring for the South.
Ahora necesita ventanas y navíos para esperar de nuevo la vida sur del mundo. Porque en medio de todo la primavera vuelve y hay que vendar los árboles que rompieron las olas.
Written by Chilean ecologist Sara Vial, the poem talks of the spring being carried by boats to the devastated towns of southern Chile.
Guardabosque perdido de la red y la barca que arrebató el océano.
It mentions how even though broken lamps have to be fixed and trees have to be bandaged, you shouldn't hang on to the grief forever.
Su hermano recoge tus pedazos y espera.
It says that even though the city's gone through much suffering, help is being sent from ports around the world. And, with courage, Valdivia and its people will recover.
Porque hoy la primavera ha partido en un barco hacia tu muelle roto. Qué linda la poesía.